belief, trust can be difficult things, can't they? Can be really difficult things when things start to unfold in a way that we never could have imagined or never could have anticipated or expected. My name is Jeremy. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm so glad that you're worshiping with us, whether you're here at West Des Moines or whether you're with us in Waukee or online or any of our local sites. This week, we're continuing our series on a binge-worthy Bible-based series where we've been going through these TV series that we binge on, that we spend, if we're going to be honest, way too much time watching them. And it's so fun because this week, we're focusing on the show This Is Us. And the last 3 weeks, we've kind of had to do a little bit of a precursor to the message to say, Breaking Bad, may not want to watch that show. Not that appropriate. Arrested Development, really funny, but a little incorrect. Last week we watched Lost, but this week we're watching This Is Us. And I know because I talked to a lot of you that more of you than not in this room or at Waukee or online watch this show than don't. This is a show that's absolutely captivated people. My wife and I, we stumbled onto this show quite by accident. We had gotten into a TV show by the name of Parenthood. We got into it late, and so we were watching it on Netflix, and we were just plowing through it in an embarrassing way. I mean, people knew that we were watching it, and we went from like season 4 to season 6 in like 3 days, and we don't know how that happened or where the time went or what happened to our kids in those 3 days. We just didn't know. Like, we lost all sense of time. And we were getting towards the end of it, and we were thinking to ourselves, what are we going to do? Like, we're going to have all of this free time. What are we going to do? We need to find another show. And at that time, there were previews for This Is Us. We thought, well, maybe we should watch it. Maybe we should check it out. Centering the story on these parents, Jack and Rebecca. And the show goes back and forth from flashbacks to present day. The flashbacks of Jack and Rebecca and their story and their life and their marriage and the real stuff that they are confronted with. And then the daughter Kate and son Kevin and their third son Randall. And it's amazing. It's amazing how the issues and the subjects and the struggles, whether or not it mimics your life exactly, so easy to relate to. I mean, the writers, the directors, the producers, they nailed it when they called it This Is Us. Because it is. You saw that in that scene from the pilot episode. Don't worry, I'm not going to give anything about the show away. For those of you who haven't started the show, I'm just going to talk about the pilot. I had a lot of people, especially on our staff, who said, don't ruin the series. I said, I'm not going to ruin it. I'm not going to give away what happened this past week, but if you haven't watched it, wow, crazy episode. You're going to want to binge for the next 4 days. Just get to it. But the very beginning, they set the stage in the show. Where Jack and his wife Rebecca, they'd gone into the hospital. They'd gone into the hospital because she was expecting triplets. And they get in there, and the doctor, who wasn't supposed to be the doctor that was going to be with them during delivery, but coincidentally, Dr. K shows up, which wasn't a coincidence at all. Even though he wasn't supposed to be the doctor, he was exactly the right doctor for them. It's funny how that happens in life, right? We say it each week when you come to worship. We don't believe it's any that you're here. You're not here by coincidence. You're not here by some kind of happenstance that brought you magically to worship. We believe that God uses these things and brings us and leads us and guides us even when we aren't aware of it. But Dr. K comes into the hospital room and he comes to Jack and to Rebecca and he says, you know, the doctor had told you that there are going to be complications. And Jack says, nah, doc, I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it. There are no complications. There is a way that this is going to go. And you can waste your time, but we're not going to hear it. He says, my mom is a very horrible knitter, and she made 3 onesies. And somehow, in some way, Doc, it's your job, it's your responsibility that we're going to have 3 babies to put in those 3 onesies. So you may be talking about something that's going on, but I don't want to deal with it. Which we're guilty of sometimes, aren't we? Something happens and we ask ourselves why or how, and rather than address it or rather than face it, sometimes we would just as soon avoid it or cover it up. It's like we have a wound on our arm and we take the bandage and we put the bandage over the wound, and somehow, just because it's covered and we don't see it, somehow it's magically going to go away or it's going to disappear. There's a reality. There's a reality in the world that we live in. We talked about it the first week that we were going through this series, as we went to the very beginning of the story, the very beginning of the book of Genesis, where God creates Adam and God creates Eve, and he creates them wonderfully and beautifully and perfectly and places them in the garden that he had created for them. But there was a break. And all of a sudden, life is going south. Now, don't mishear this. Because sometimes you can hear that and you can say, okay, well, I get it. I understand it. You don't need to tell me that life is bad. No, it's not. It's good. Don't ever forget that. Ruin the end of the story at the very beginning. Life is good. Because God created it. This world, don't miss this. Because it can be so easy to miss this. This world that we live in and the people who inhabit it are good. Incredibly good. Because every one of them have been created in the image and the likeness of God. Whether they believe it or not, whether they accept it or not, whether they acknowledge it or not. But at the same time, we have to deal with the fact that there's a brokenness. And sometimes we can be like Jack and we would just as soon not confront what's going on in our lives. But it doesn't change it. I learned this over the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago today, it was Sunday night, and you know, I mean, you're laughing at me already. This is miserable. I am a nauseating Minnesota sports fan. And 2 weeks ago, the Vikings, I'm not for a moment going to tell you that the Vikings had the best team in the NFL. They didn't. But every so often, and for me it was the first time in the 40 years that I've been alive, everything fell their way. I mean, it was a magical season. So 2 weeks ago, they're in the divisional round of the playoffs, their first game, because they had a first round bye. My family had gone to worship earlier in the day because the game wasn't until 3:40 in the afternoon, and I preach at 5 o'clock on Sunday nights, and so I had a problem. Either I watched the game and canceled, well, that wouldn't work. I can't cancel church. Or I come to church and ignore the game. So I found a middle ground. I found a compromise. And I know we're not supposed to do this. But I asked my wife, I said, Bridget, can you send me a text keeping me updated at everything that's happening in the game? Big or small, great or bad, just keep the text coming. Keep them coming and coming and coming. And I would love to tell you I wasn't checking my phone during church, but I was checking my phone, and don't judge me because you do it too. I've preached way too many Saturday nights when the Hawkeyes or the Cyclones are playing. And you're going, if I watch with one eye, you've perfected it. You can watch your phone with one eye and watch the preacher with the other eye. And I'm marveling at it, but I figured it out 2 weeks. Necessity is the mother of invention, right there. I had it. So the game has started, the game is going, and I'm watching, and it's touchdown Vikings, interception Vikings, touchdown Vikings, field goal Vikings, and it's halftime, and it's 17-0, and I get up to preach, and I do the cardinal sin. I stood right here on this place. I said, it's 17-0, they're going to win no problem. And I didn't even preach that long, but by the time I got back down to my seat, I'm like, okay, don't check your phone. Everybody's looking at you, don't check your phone. But I checked my phone just to see what was going on, and it was 17-14. I'm thinking to myself, how is this happening? It's not supposed to go this way. So I'm driving home, and I'm talking to Bridget on the phone, my wife, and she's giving me play-by-plays, which should be a second career for her because she was incredibly good at it. And she was telling me everything. And I get home, and I come into the house, and I sit on the couch. I eat my dinner quick on the couch, and we're watching the last 5 minutes of the game. And the Saints go up, and the Vikings go up, and the Saints go up, and there's 20 seconds left. And I thought to myself, here it goes again. Biggest losing team in the history of the NFL. And I did what every responsible adult does, and I threw the remote across the room. And my dear precious son, who's only been paying attention to football for a year, says, Dad, they can do it. Yeah, you think he's, but I said, dear son, you don't know the heartache that I've been through the 40 years of my life. There is no possible way that this can happen. My wife said, don't destroy him so early in his life. I just want to be a realist. So I want to turn the game off. But I didn't. Because if I would have, they would have kicked me out of the house. And it was the Minneapolis Miracle. And the Saints player made a bad play. But we all do at times. He made a mistake. But it was Keenum to Diggs. And it was touchdown. And it was pandemonium in our house. Our neighbors literally said, we can hear you from next door. I mean, I was screaming. Bridget was screaming. Trey was screaming. Our daughter Jade was screaming. And she didn't even know why. Our dog was in the bedroom upstairs, like shaking in her kennel, because it was nuts. And I'm like, this is the way it should be, finally. And the next morning, we were going on vacation. So it's like Vikings gear all week on vacation. I don't care how bad we smell, we're wearing the same clothes. And all week as we're in Florida, we're passing person by person to person. Vikings, 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 Vikings. The end of our vacation was Sunday night last week. And we gathered in a horribly small hotel room that I could literally sit on my bed and touch the bathroom with my foot. That's how small it was. And the game starts out great and everything's going wonderful. And then everything goes south. And my son looked at me and he said, Dad, how could this happen? Which is a question I think a lot of us ask. I'm not talking about football. Trust me, I'm as big of a sports fan as anybody in here. But in the end, it's just a game. And in the end, it doesn't really bear a lot of consequence on the truth of who we are, or should it? It shouldn't be able to identify who we are. But a lot of us find ourselves in places where we're wondering, how could this happen? Where do I turn? Where do I go? Faith? Belief? Trust? Are you kidding me? I mean, if there is a God and there is a God who is good, then explain this. So about 2 months ago, I was sitting with this young adult who their parent was in the last, literally, we knew it, the last days of their life. And as this person and I sat and we looked at one another, with their dying parent in the room. And this person asked me a question that was so true and it was so honest. And it's one I think that we need to take the bandage off and ask ourselves. Because they said to me, if my parent dies, I mean, they haven't just given their life to Jesus during their illness. They haven't just given their lives to Jesus in the times and the valleys of life. But they've followed God and surrendered their life to Jesus since they were a child. And they looked at me and they said, if God takes them, God takes my faith. Because we've had people praying. They've been anointed with oil. We've surrendered every aspect of their treatment to God. And every step along the way, we had faith that somehow God would provide. If he doesn't provide now, he never will. Faith, belief, trust. They're difficult things, aren't they? I mean, we can come and we can say that it's not a challenge or a struggle for us, but would that be honest? I mean, by nature, there is an aspect of faith that is incredibly difficult. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the assurance of things that we hope for and the conviction of things that we cannot see. That there are times and there are situations and there are places in our life that we're called to walk by faith, but when we get to this place, we say, but how can I even do that anymore? I would love to, but I'm a realist. I place my trust and my belief in things that can hold it. That's why the story that we're going through today is so important. The story of Abraham and Sarah and their son Isaac. If we were to go through the Old Testament, the story, the portion of Scripture before Jesus comes onto the scene physically, there'd probably be two people that we would say would be the most well-known, even if you have just kind of a vague knowledge of the Bible and faith and Scripture, and it would be Abraham from the story of Genesis and Moses, who we'll meet in the book of Exodus, which is an incredible story of how God delivers his people. And the first time we meet Abraham is all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. And Abraham and his wife Sarah are living in a land where they've made with their family. And it seems as if almost out of nowhere, God calls Abraham. God makes himself known. God reveals himself to Abraham. And he calls Abraham. He says, Abraham, I want you to take your wife Sarah and I want you to leave everything that you've known. I want you to leave the comforts of your home. I want you to leave all of the people, and I want you to leave, and I want you to go. And I want you to go to a place that I will reveal to you. And Abraham, I have a promise for you. And my promise is that I'm going to make a nation through you. I'm going to create a people that will come through you and through your wife, Sarah. In Genesis chapter 15, God says to Abraham, Abraham, your descendants, the blessings, what I'm going to do to you, they're going to outnumber the stars in the sky as if you could even count them. And Abraham and Sarah, they leave. And they trust. And they believe. and they have faith. But life happens. And as time goes on, they get to a place where it feels as if God has almost gone silent. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever wonder and say, well, it seems as if everybody else is hearing and experiencing God, but I guess I just don't. Maybe there was a time in my life where it seemed so real and so tangible and so present, but that was then and this is now. And well, to me, faith seems nothing more that's a blind leap into something that has no merit. I mean, Abraham and Sarah had gotten past the stage, the window in their lives where having a child was possible or even thinkable. And God promises and continues to promise, and there comes a place where they start to wonder, really? Faith? I mean, maybe faith is just something that the weak-minded do to put the bandage on to get through life. But as to any reality to it, I guess I just never could believe in something like that. That somehow what has gone on or is going on or the place in my life that I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for God to provide in some way that I've been asking and pleading and praying, and people have been asking and pleading and praying on my behalf. And for so long, that thing has not, it's not been answered. And my life has gotten to a place in that area, whatever that area is for you. Because we have an area. I mean, by nature, there is a break in our humanity, and there are all places in our lives, some place in our life where we just wonder, could I ever see life on the other side? So what's so beautiful about the reality of this show. This is us. Because they don't ignore it. We sometimes want a show that goes from once upon a time to happily ever after really quick. But that's not life all the time. Pray to God it is for you. But it isn't for everyone. And when the unplanned things of life happen, where do you go for the answers? Because at some point, we're going to have to put our faith and our trust in something. I guess the question is, what we put it in, is it capable of carrying us? Jack's wife had just gone into labor, and Dr. K has to come and share some incredibly difficult news with him. But Dr. K is somebody who can speak to it because he himself had experienced the unplanned things of life in his own. He'd lost his wife, the most important person in the world to him. And he says to Jack, he says, Jack, I know that you don't see the light at the end of this tunnel, but Jack, I promise you, because I've been there, somehow you'll get through. And that's the promise that God has for you. I can't say that any more clearly than that. Life goes unplanned. It goes off the map at times. And we find ourselves in a place where sometimes we don't even have the words. But hear the voice of Dr. Kate Ajak and hear it for yourself, not just as an observer of a television show, but as an individual, as a human being who God loves, that has your own place and your own thing. And maybe here this morning you say, that's my story today. Faith and belief and trust seems impossible. It did for Abraham and Sarah. It's in Hebrews chapter 11. The writer of Hebrews is recounting the lives of all of these incredible people who have lived these lives and they've walked by faith and not by sight. And sometimes we can fool ourselves to say, yeah, but it was by faith that Sarah and Abraham walked, but I'm not Abraham and I'm not Sarah. And I could never, that God truly chooses those people who are equipped for it, but I'm not equipped for something like that, but you are. Because that word for faith, we too often associate it with something that's just blind, that has no foundation to it. But you want to know what that word is in the Greek? That word in the Greek is the Greek word pistis. Joel, if you want to go to the next screen. And this word pistis, yes, it means faith, but you want to know what else it means? It means trust. And trust is built on a relationship. Trust is built on something that you have experienced and you can count on. That's why I had no hope last Sunday night. Because the Vikings have never followed through, so I have no faith and I have no trust. But God, that's different. Abraham and Sarah, they walked by faith. Why? How? Because God had shown up again and again and again and again and again and again and again, not just in their lives, but in the lives of people. And if God promises, it will be so. There is a reality that in this world, things aren't always going to go the way that we want them to. Jesus says it himself in John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says there is a thief in this world, and the thief's purpose, there's a reality of the brokenness of this world that steals and lies and kills and destroys us. But Jesus says, my purpose, why I have come, is to give you a rich and satisfying life, to give you what you can't get on your own, to offer you something, a promise that you can have faith in, that you can put your trust in, that you can believe in. It's this incredible story where we hear it read from Genesis chapter 22, and God calls Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to bring your child up, and this child, Isaac, that I've given to you, this incredible gift that you've waited a lifetime. They're 9,900 years old by the time Isaac is born, and they finally receive the promise that God had given to them, and then God says, I want you to give him up. And we hear this text in Genesis chapter 22, and we don't even want to look at it because it seems like God is so reckless or careless or unloving. And we see that Abraham begins to bring his son Isaac up the mountain. And he has the fire and he has the wood. And they even get to the place where Isaac is old enough now, and Isaac sees something that's happening that he can't explain. It's unanswerable. He says, Dad, and we have the fire and we have the wood, but We don't have anything to sacrifice. And we hear the story and we think, how could Abraham not stop everything? But you see, Abraham had faith. The only way that God was going to make good on his promise was through his son. He said, God will provide. And he will for you. God will provide. Wherever it is that you've been waiting for, God will provide. And it doesn't always go the way that we expect. And it doesn't always follow the timeline that we may construct for ourselves. And there is a time where God willing, we'll get to heaven. We'll see God face to face. And we'll say, but why did I have to wait? And what was going on? And sometimes we fool ourselves to think that the only reason we're suffering is because God wants us to suffer. But that's not a good God who gives good gifts. It's the result of brokenness in our world. But God will provide. Thief's purpose is to lie and to kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give you life. Abraham gets to the top of that mountain. Follows through to the very end. God calls out to him. God offers the animal of the sacrifice. So you can't mistake it. This is foretelling of the story of Jesus. The Bible says that though we were dead in our sin, he gave us Jesus Christ, who would die and put our sin and our death and the forces of evil to death so that we may have life, so that he'll provide the rich and the abundant and the satisfying life. So what Jack experiences in this show that sets the context for the whole thing. It wasn't what God wants to take the child. Death took the child. It isn't that God wants you to struggle and to deal with whatever it is that you're struggling with and you're dealing with. Brokenness does that. Sin does that. But God, through Jesus Christ, steps in and provides every single time. And you can put your faith and you can put your trust and you can believe in that. Because when God promises you to give you a rich and an abundant and a satisfying life, he will make good on it. That there is nothing in all of creation, God says, that could ever distance you from his love. That where there is no way, he provides the way. He will provide the way he provided for Jack and for Rebecca and for Kevin the first and for Kate the second and for Randall who receives the grace of a father who loves. This side of heaven, it's never going to be perfect. There are things that are going to happen. There are events that are going to transpire in your life and the lives of people around you. It's not a word that I have for you. It's a word that I deal with in my own life. Because we're all human. And we have two beautiful kids. And our son right now, he's fine. But he's dealing with just this fear in his life. And so Sunday night he's saying, Dad, why is this happening? And he's talking about the Vikings, but it's other times in his life lately. And we know it's a stage, and we trust that it's a stage, but he says, Dad, why is this happening to me? What do I do? Why do I feel this way right now? What are the answers? Do I tell my buddy, just don't think about it? rub some dirt on. What do you do? But trust in a God who loves my son more than I do, more than his mom does. Because we know, because of how our God provides, that he'll work together in all things for the good. He doesn't cause it. He doesn't want my son to be dealing with his worry, with his fear. He don't want that. That's not good. But he'll work through it with God on his side. And how difficult it is for me in that place to offer that to God. Because I'm still asking the question, why God? And maybe I should start saying, how God? I mean, where is it in your life that you need God to show up? That you need God to provide in a way that has seemed almost impossible? And I think it's important sometimes that we take the bandage off. That's what the sticky notes in your bulletins are for. And I want to invite you, as we close in worship, to write that thing down, to give it up, to say, God, I can't carry this on my own, but I trust that you have carried far heavier weights than these. And I believe that you will provide. I trust, I have faith, because you've done it again and again and again and again. So I want to release to the campuses where you'll receive instructions on what we're going to do next. But here in West Des Moines, just write that down. Put it out on the post-it note. The worship team is going to lead us in our closing worship song. And at any point in that song, the beginning, in the middle, at the end, invite you just to place them on the walls on the side of the worship center. If you're worried that somebody's going to read yours, hide it under somebody else's, or put it in the baskets in the back. Or maybe just write it and put it someplace later. But hear this. The Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from death to life, that resurrected him, it's offered and it lives in you to provide for you. Hear it, receive it, trust it, believe it, have faith in it. Amen.